All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here standing with you in the confessional corner going into the commandments this week, looking at the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So we look at the woodcuts, and which one do you think we're going with for this one that Luther went with in 1529? Of course, we're going to the golden calf. What is happening as Moses is going down from the top of Mount Sinai, having received all the law. Now this is what happens. Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears, of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on this people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it into powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' So I said to them, 'Let any who have gold take it off.' So they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf." And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered around him, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor." And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, "Today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day." The next day Moses said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written." But the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go, Lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf, the one that Aaron made. All right, there is Exodus 32. And I will go through a study of that real quick in this episode, but I will have also the link for when I went through Exodus 32 earlier in the podcast at the very beginning for extra study on that as well. So we have Moses being up on the mountain for 40 days, and the people are beginning to wonder about him because he's been gone an awful long time. So they come to Aaron, who's been left in charge because, well, he's Moses' older brother, so he's probably the one many people think should probably be in charge anyway. And they say, "Up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron, under great duress, I would assume, says, "Okay, take off the gold that is there, that you have, that's in your wives, your sons, your daughters' ears, bring them to me." Melts it all down, makes this calf, and people start saying, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Which begs the question, okay, they say, "These are your gods," but we have only reference to one calf. So there is that mystery there, possibly because of Elohim, the name of God, especially in Genesis, is plural. So there is that already understandable thing of God's plurality, not necessarily the fully developed idea of the Trinity that we have right now, because that has taken quite a while, and the Israelites, as we said last week, have been around for about, you know, well, now 4 months out of Egypt. So they haven't had all of the training and all of the revelations yet, because some of it is still ongoing, even past Moses' time. All right, so Aaron jumps on the bandwagon and says, "Okay, tomorrow's going to be a feast of the Lord." So they rose up early the next day. Wouldn't it be great? And isn't it great when people rise up early for church? I mean, I get that for Easter sunrise, but on a regular basis, it's not the way it happens. But we're going to have a feast for the Lord, so here we go. We're going to get up early. And they brought burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the people sat down, ate and drank, and then rose up to play. And then we get the Lord telling Moses about this. And there's always the emphasis that I put on this when I read it, and I hopefully did it when I read through it a few minutes ago. "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." And we talk about the commandments and talking about, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Now they've gone to the golden calf. It's like, "Your people, Moses, who you brought up, you know, they've corrupted themselves. You go down and take care of them, because I am going to wipe them out." Because, and we have this again and again throughout the scriptures, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." This is one of God's primary labels for the people in their rebellions of sin, is that they are a stiff-necked people. He goes on to tell Moses, "Let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation out of you." It's like, okay, we're going to do the whole Noah thing again, and I'm going to wipe everybody out. We're going to start over with you. And Moses is like, no, please, I don't want to deal with that. You know, at this time, he's 80 years old. He's not quite Abraham. He doesn't want to have to deal with, you know, little ones right now and having to raise up children at his age. He's already got enough grown children that he has to take care of in this motley mess down at the bottom of the mountain. So he begs God to not wipe out his people, bringing about the question that even Pharaoh had. Why should the Egyptians say, "With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth"? This is what Pharaoh had taught. This is what the people in their continued complaining, as they did in chapter 16 of Exodus, chapter 17 of Exodus, and on throughout their wilderness wanderings. Would that we? Why have you brought us out here to die of hunger or thirst or heat or whatever? He says, no, no. Remember Abraham. Remember Isaac. Remember Israel. You know, the people you made promises to, that I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. Are you going to go back on that promise? Now, granted, in God's defense, he's not going back on that promise, because Moses is in that line of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, as he is a son of Levi. But again, why we have the 12 sons of Israel, and then all of a sudden we're going to get down to one again? He's like, no, no, Lord, don't do that. So God says, you go down, take care of it. So Moses goes down, has the brief conversation with Joshua about, no, it's not a war going on down there. It's a celebration of things that people should not be celebrating. And so he takes the calf, burns it, grinds it up, and puts it on the water and makes the people drink it. And then says to Aaron, what did you do? And this is my favorite exchange between brothers in the entire scriptures. You know the people. They're set on evil. They said, make us gods. You know, as for Moses, we don't know where to. I took the gold from them. I threw it in the fire. Out jumped this calf. What am I supposed to do with that? Well, of course, that, you know, gets Aaron into hot water with God. But we will see in Deuteronomy that it's not this that keeps Aaron out of the promised land. It is the second time of bringing water from the rock, as he is lumped in with Moses as to not honoring God before the people. So now Moses goes to the edge of the camp, says, all right, everyone who's on the Lord's side, come to me. And then the entire population of the Levites comes to them. He says, grab your swords, start killing people. And then 3,000 of the men fell that day. And so we have this punishment being exacted very much like their ancestor Levi, going in with Simeon into Shechem after the marriage of their sister Dinah to the prince of Shechem, who had raped her. And as part of the peace treaty between in the marriage ceremony, all the men were circumcised. And so Simeon and Levi come in as they are convalescing from that and kill everybody while they're basically defenseless. So it's Levi's descendants who become the priest that are here killing people that were worshiping the calves. And says, today, Moses says, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. Here is, as Moses says, the ordination of the tribe of Levi as the priest, as the ones who are involved in the sacrifices in the covenant that Moses has brought down from the top of Mount Sinai. So Moses goes up and says, okay, the people have sinned. They're now sorry. But if you will forgive their sin, great. If you don't, instead of wiping them out, wipe me out. And God gives yet another line that is quoted, especially through Ezekiel. You know, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Or as Ezekiel puts it, the soul that sins is the soul that will die. So I'm not going to wipe you out, Moses, because of the people. Everyone dies from the consequences of their own sin. That is straightforward. But now you got to go. You are no longer welcome here at my mountain. And so God sends a plague among the people, and that is kind of where it stops there, because you have Moses going back up in chapter 33, getting the new set of tablets that he has to make himself, and he has to write, the ones that then end up in the Ark of the Covenant, coming up later on in the book of Exodus. So we have here, really what happens in idolatry is not necessarily that, okay, here are new gods for you. Here's Aaron saying, this calf is your gods, O Israel. This is the one who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, even though you saw me just make it. But again, it's all done in the name of the Lord, which is what Jeroboam the first does when he breaks off the 10 northern tribes from Judah and Benjamin in the days of Solomon, is he sets up golden calves himself, not to lead people away from the Lord, but these are your gods, O Israel, the ones who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You no longer need to go down to Jerusalem. You can do it here in our place, in our way. And it's still being labeled as the work of God. And we see that all throughout our world today. Many people, among Christians, seeking to try to find any way to make even the worst things that the Bible condemns, make them God-honoring things, because we're doing it in the name of God. We're doing it because God loves everyone. And yet, God also punishes those who sin against him, as we've seen in Exodus 32. Why? Because he wants no one to share his honor. He wants no one to usurp his place, because he is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who all the earth is his. And he has called you and me to be that treasured possession, as we saw last week, to be that great kingdom of priests and a holy nation, so that we can serve him in the way that he has given us. So that is why we have this podcast with the Confessional Corner, with Digging Deeper, to have those times of understanding what is it that God has said, so that we can wrestle with the theologies around us, so that we know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, and what we need to do with it to honor God. All right, that is it for this week. As we finish up the first commandment and Exodus 32, we go into the second commandment and continue on our journey through the small catechism next week. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, standing in the confessional corner with me. And I wish God's richest blessings on you, as you are one of the kingdom of priests, one of the holy nation of God, brought about to wrestle with the theologies around us today. Amen.